Oh! 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 All right, welcome back to Season 3, Monster Chiller Horror Theater. I am 8th Dan Stanadu, host of the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo, and I am joined, as usual, by my good friends, Jim Carter.
I'm here because I'm in the goddamn club, aren't I?
You're in the club, the Monster Squad, man. Yeah. We're all in the Monster Squad, right? I mean, that's just the way it works. All right, Jumpin' Jack Hall.
Sup, dudes.
And finally, the man who brings it all together, the man who explains it all to us. We got Nick Boxer.
Greetings and salutations.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're all here because you know, I mean, we got ourselves like a family classic right now. And I'm happy to be able to share this with my good buddies, Monster Squad. All right, Nick Boxer, why don't you tell us about some Monster Squad?
Have you seen a movie from the 80s?
Several.
This is one.
Well, that's one way to put it.
A group of misfit kids band together and have to defend their town and the world from all the universal monsters who've combined forces and converged on their location. That's it. That's what happens.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That is the movie. Yeah.
Yeah. There's
so much easier than explaining Frankenstein Island.
And then things happen in a linear fashion, and when things are introduced, they make sense and have a lasting repercussion on the overall narrative. This movie is so different than what we usually do.
It's true. There was a moment, like, I was actually, as I was watching this, I watched it with my son, Van, and I was really, you know, because I thought, it's time, you're a little young, but it's time to introduce you to the Monster Squad. And for a moment, 10.
But yeah, that's a little young for this movie.
Well, they have to learn to smoke somewhere.
that's right. What's the 80s? I mean, you got to learn about the 80s. I mean, it's part of life, right? But
I think it's important that he learns that smoking makes you look cool. That's the most important lesson to take away.
And when it comes to sex, Brad doesn't count.
Fat kid.
If you got a friend with a glandular problem, it's okay to call him fat kid.
The bullies call him Horace, or what was it?
Horace. Well,
the bullies call him fat kid, and then his friends call him fat kid.
Fat kid. Yeah.
Yeah, but he gets all the lines in this movie.
Yeah.
But these guys, as friends, these guys are the kind of friends that we are. You know, if you think about it, I mean, we're just like older versions of these guys. You know, except we don't necessarily know if one of them was a fat kid or not. But
And we have nowhere. We've never had a clubhouse that cool.
No,
man,
that's
I want to rebuild that. Like, I want to like duplicate that as in my backyard. That the Monster Squad clubhouse, amazing.
And I want to know, like, where do you go? Because I'll tell you where I live. There's no haunted houses around. Like, there's no houses with like scary German guys.
Yeah, there is. Dude, you're close to. Purple pink people house, or pink people.
But that's not like haunted. I mean, that looks like a normal house. It just happens to have random pink people in front of it, or in the side of it. But it doesn't look like a haunted house.
Mummy wrapped pink plastic people.
Are they really there?
A bunch of them.
We need to put those pictures up on our Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Send me a couple of those pictures. We can put them up on Instagram and ask some questions.
I think this one's got to be haunted.
Well, I mean, it's not classic-looking haunted house, that's for sure. But
what I love about this movie is everything in it reminds me of when I was a kid. Because I remember being scared of the house down the block that was a little disheveled and you didn't know who lived in it.
There was a haunted house in my neighborhood when I was growing up. The one that we thought was haunted. Yeah.
But I mean, you got a real sense of the world.
You're saying, Stan, there's no haunted house in your neighborhood. Ask your son, Van. Ask Van to do if there's a, he's the one who would know.
That's, yeah, we'll have to see. We'll have to see if he's got any haunted houses around for him. But, you know, because you look at so many movies.
Well, you'd have to
like
let
that.
Him out of the basement first.
My own!
Why would you want to leave the basement? We watch good movies all the time.
There's a monster in my closet, Dad.
that's right. Look, there's no monster in your closet. I just waved the door open. That was good times. It's interesting because this movie is not typical of our usual Boogaloo type movie.
That said, but we get one of these every year. Like I know. Like a first year it was Bloodsport, and year two it was Revenge of the Nerds, and maybe even Up the Creek, and then this year's this. We're one where it's like we know, like the concept this year is takes on the universal monsters. So werewolves, Frankenstein, Dracula, you know, Wolfman or whatever, Wolf Guy in this case. Like, so it's a takeoff on that. We get one of these every year. And it was one where I can't remember who actually nominated because we just got to pick two movies. But when it was up, there was a discussion. Is it KFEB? Is it Boogaloo enough? And it's kind of one of those ones where it's like, yeah, but we kind of have to do it. I mean, it's got, you know, all the elements that we just couldn't ignore.
Well, I was so excited because when you're talking about having a mummy – And this mummy wasn't an Asian mummy, so that was a positive. You know, but it's got Wolfman, and it's got Dracula, and it's got Frankenstein's monster, but it had Gillman, and I loved Gillman. Like, what a great-looking character. Stan Winston obviously does an awesome job every time out. But Gillman was great because there's just these moments where it's just like, and I wasn't even sure. But it's like, I guess, yeah, he's really struggling to breathe when he's out of the water. It's good looking character.
The monsters look so good in this.
Yeah, except for Dracula.
True.
Yeah, he's not really. But I mean, I love it. They're all recognizable. But like even Dracula, it's like, okay, that's a classic Dracula. But they didn't go and make a Lugosi ripoff. Like, he doesn't look that much like him, and he doesn't talk with him. He doesn't have the accent, you know. Like, so they were kind of it was really well done. Like the monsters, and that's the thing is, this movie is, with a few small exceptions, it is still a smaller budget movie, but it was a mainstream movie, and it is largely well done. And it will be interesting to see how it scores. I don't really even know to discuss the movie. How we do it, because we can't go right in and start jumping around like we normally do, where we're just like, what? But and going through the plot almost makes no sense, because anybody can almost probably watch this on video on demand or Netflix or Amazon. Like, it's out there, right? And a lot of people have already seen it, so going through the plot doesn't even really make a ton of sense.
Well, and it's so
I'm not
easy.
Really even sure how to approach this.
As Nick said, it really is like every 80s movie.
Oh, yeah.
Brought to life. I mean, it just happens to have like, you know, this is Stand By Me to a certain degree with the universal monsters in it. So
yeah, and in this day and age of, you know, of It and Stranger Things, like, it fits right in with those as well still, and those more modern takes of it, style wise in a lot of ways, it fits right in and people would recognize it. So if they haven't seen any, if they're a little bit younger and they've only seen those recent films or recent movies or TV series and they haven't seen stuff from the 80s so much, this kind of gives you, it's that template still.
Now, Van was very happy that Frankenstein's monster was a good guy. Like, that that definitely made an impact on him, you know, to know that like, to kind of fit in with that. Yeah, when you see Frankenstein's monster and you know him from, you know, from the original story, then you know that he's just misunderstood. And this character had, you know, took that, was misunderstood, but was still basically liked kids and was friendly, and he stayed a good guy through the whole thing. And that was definitely a real positive. Like, I actually think that...
Has he seen the original Frankenstein?
No, he hasn't seen the original Frankenstein, but he's familiar, he's familiar with the story. Yeah. So, you know, for him to stay that way and to be a hero through the whole movie, that absolutely was, you know, was a good thing.
What I actually really appreciate of this movie, about this movie, is all the characters sort of, they act like themselves, the original Universal, monsters. It would have been so easy to do like a Van Helsing or something like that, where these characters are all new. But no, I mean, you do have the Frankenstein as a good-natured simpleton, and Dracula as the really evil guy, and the Wolfman as a cursed but good guy.
But well, he's good when he's a human. Himself. Yeah.
Well, yeah, when he's a human. But I mean, the characters stay true to the original forms. There's no new character development in this.
But you're saying that's actually a positive in this case.
Yes, in this case it is. It's like visiting old friends, rather than just we don't have to get to know these people. I can watch this movie back to back with the original. With the original Universal Monsters movies and feel some sense of continuity.
And I think it's got that. Yeah. It's got that same feel of like the Abbott Costello Universal Monsters movies.
Yeah.
Where a new generation was discovering these characters and let's make something that, you know, bridges that of these 40s and 50s, at least like 30s to 50s characters, and then bridges that with what is now the VHS era would have been the people like, you know, first experiencing these movies then. So yeah, it's touching on that. You know, it's nostalgia, but it's also just kind of revisiting.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, I actually think, I know this is an odd one for us, but I do think, I do think we should jump into the scoring. I mean, this is just a movie that we did enjoy. And I think a lot of it comes from the fact that the nostalgia really played well to us as people.
Yeah, and so we should probably say that as you know, James Cotter there says every episode, he lets us know how the scoring is not based on objective quality. And in this movie, this will hurt the scoring. Like, this movie's going to not score as well as it is. I would recommend this movie. I think everybody should see this movie. They'll enjoy this movie, especially, like I say, if you watch Goonies and you watched Stranger Things or, you know, whatever. Somehow you missed it. I had missed this growing up. Like, I never saw this until now. Somehow, I didn't even hear about this until like 5 years ago.
It's actually one I missed as a kid, too. My wife, Lacey, it's like her favorite childhood movie. Yeah. She used to she watched this over and over, like once a month when she visited a family friend. And so, I mean, I had a movie like that. It was called Die Hard. So it was a bit,
I think I've heard of that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a, you know, if you're a fan of 80s movies, you know, take a look for that one. All right. Well, let us get
it. Yeah. So, but again, just this probably won't score as high as it deserves. You know, everybody should see this movie. It's not necessarily a KFEB classic, but it is a classic of its own style. And it is, and Lacey isn't alone. I know a lot of people, this was their childhood, you know.
Hell, there's a whole documentary about how much people love this film coming out.
Oh, there you go.
Neat.
What's it called?
Yeah, I think it's called Monster Kids. I'll have to look that up. Give me a minute.
Okay. Sure. All right. That's cool.
Well, you got about 15 seconds.
All right, we'll start into the scoring. We rate these movies on five categories. As Jack mentioned, none of these are objective quality. And this is, as we continue our search for the ultimate B-movie, our first category is called Schlock Appeal, and we start with Stan.
Well, I can argue a little bit of schlock in the movie. I mean, anytime you include a bunch of the Universal monsters, I think it's fair to argue some of it. There's a great scene, of course, where where they need a virgin, and so they have to. They're like, "Are you a virgin?" And so during that scene, of course, they get through doing the enchantment where she has to read it in German, the incantation, and at the end, nothing happens. And it's just like, what? Well, are you a virgin? Well, I mean, this guy, but it didn't count.
Just Steve.
And at that moment, my son turns to me and he's just like, what's a virgin? And it's just like, oh, that's one of those points. But you know, it's all good. It's all good. He knows what a virgin is now. So Monster Squad told him what a virgin helps him out. But so for me,
and now he knows that if you're not a virgin, you're impure. That's right. So I'm glad that we're able to broach the subject that way.
Hey, look, this movie is a PG movie, but I don't know if the PG. I'm not sure if this was after or before. This probably was after PG-13. I'm actually kind of surprised it's not PG-13. It's actually at very intense at times.
There's a couple of times I worry less about monsters and violence and stuff like that, mostly because we watch a lot of those makeup shows, so he really understands the concept of makeup and how the movie making like this just isn't real, so that kind of stuff just doesn't really.
I wasn't worried about your kid. I don't care.
Well, no.
It is worth mentioning that people die in this movie.
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, people
like
die in
the
real
cop's partner. He is toast. He blew up good in that car.
And when the stake goes through the heart of one of the vampire girls, it's very graphic, actually.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because there's moments because I think its new rating is 14A. So it's interesting, like, there's...
Which is in Canada,
yeah,
where you are.
Yeah, that's right.
I hate Canadians, you know that.
Oh, that's fair. I hate you. So, but at any rate, so it's the idea of that, it's childlike in a lot of cases, but there are those moments where it's just like, taking a picture through the window of the girl wearing the bra and panties.
Oh,
and
dude, like, this could have had some of the modifiers from previous season.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, there were a couple that would have applied. Yeah.
But at any rate, so for me, it's certainly not a schlocky movie. It's more of a good movie. But due to a few things, I'm going to give it a 5.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. There's a lot of quality here, but I also can't discount, like, all the Universal monsters are here. This is a monster jam, and it was sold as such. So that's schlocky in its concept. It obviously was running on the coattails of every other 80s movie going out there. So I'm just going to go a little higher than you. I'm going to go with a 6.
Yeah, I'm also going to go with a 6 on it. I do think it deserves kind of that. Like, the appeal is it's monsters, but it's old monsters. It's monsters that were B-movie monsters. It appeals to that part of like, so there is a schlock feel to it. Because, it would have been easier to do more modern monsters or takes on them. But they didn't. They went old school, and that really made it schlocky to me. So, 6 is a good score.
All right. Well, I'm only going to go with a 4 on this one. I love that all the Universal monsters are in this, especially Gilman, who doesn't get enough play. If Gilman had a gothic novel written about him, then we'd see a lot more Gilman today.
It's true.
But I love the silliness that all of them end up in this place for no good reason. Like the mummy is in a museum in this small town. The wolfman just wanders through, and Frankenstein and Dracula fall out of an airplane overhead. Yeah. They don't land in this town.
And Gilman, there is no explanation of
Gilman.
No,
he's just
there.
Yeah. Apparently just access to swamp water close to this town.
And
I don't
swamp,
know if we're told where this town is.
Swamp water isn't really connected to anything.
He's in like a pond. It just happens to be the pond that the swamp that the gill man lives in. All right, next category is called More Heart Than Budget.
Well, I mean, this movie actually had a decent budget of $12 million. To me, it's got a... I found that it had a ton of heart. I thought that the characters, you know, a different kind of heart than most of our movies, but like from an actual, you know, heart perspective, you know, like Frankenstein's monster, totally great. I'm going to give it a 7.
You know, I'm going to go a little higher just because, you know, there was no reason to make this movie other than people love these monsters and they wanted... Somebody behind the scenes just wanted to do something with them. I think this movie was all heart and it just sort of pushed itself into fruition. Because, I mean, you have to convince somebody at Universal to lend you these monsters. They were too close to the originals to be like, oh, we'll just have like a Frankenstein-esque monster. These guys look like the originals. There's properties involved, and somebody really wanted to make this movie. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm also going to go. I'm also going to go 7. Or what were you going to say? Sorry,
I didn't actually hear Nick say a number.
Yeah,
you just said a little higher. 7.
Oh no, no, because Stan had said 7. You said I'm going to go a little higher.
Sorry, a little higher. I meant 8. I just got 7 stuck in my head. 8. Sorry, my bad.
This movie's all heart. Like, this movie only works because it has so much heart. Like, that's what makes it not just some cheap rip-off movie. It's a lower budget. It's still a B film. It's a theatrical release, but it's a low-budget theatrical release. They did a lot with that budget. The monsters look great. Yeah, I mean, it's all heart. So I think a 7 is – I mean, it's not the type of heart – like, I'm only scoring a 7 because it's not in the spirit of what we thought of the category being created for.
All right. Well, I'm everything you said, but 10. I agree that I think none of this movie makes any sense without the heart, and it's Goonies with the Universal Monsters. I love it.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to bump mine to an 8. because it's scary German guy when he turns out to be like a good. Like just a really nice guy who likes feeding them pie. And I'm talking specifically of one moment where when he closes the door and you see the tattoo from the, you know, from the work camp. And yes. that moment there.
That got me right in the feels.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, you know, yeah, that, you knew that monsters. Was really big. Oh, yeah. That.
Like, yeah, so right there's a line like, he understands monsters or something like that, yeah. Right before the, yeah. That reveal. Yeah.
Like that moment right that deserves another point.
That's it, right? They say to him, one of the kids says, boy, you know a lot about monsters. And he goes, yes, I suppose I do. And then he closes the door and you can see that tattoo from the you know, camp. And yeah, that really is like that was a pretty amazing moment. They managed to put that in there. And the fact that they thought of that is really, yeah, quite incredible. 7.
I'm bumping mine up, but Jack's not.
Yeah. Into the next category that we call what the fuck moments. All or right. In a PG-13, what the frig moments.
Yeah, what the frig moments. yeah, there's... I mean, really, other than them landing randomly and getting called by Dracula, there's a couple of moments with the amulet that were kind of funny and weird. I love the where the amulet was and how it was just all chock full of crosses and garlic and stuff like that. It was really good, but I'm still going pretty low, so I'm only going at 2.
Yeah, this is pretty hard to bump too high. I'm going with a 4, just because of the wacky concept, and I can't believe this thing really got made at all. But it makes linear sense, which in our little world is a rarity. So
there's no doubt about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, having the fact that I've watched this directly after watching Frankenstein Island is like asking your brain to take a hard left turn. You know? Are you going to, we mentioned it quickly, but I don't want to take it from you because I have another one. But Jim, is the closet scene in your WTF?
Just go. Yeah.
Because, I mean, that scene really is, it is a kid, a little kid who says there's a monster in my closet. His dad walks in and his dad is like, there's no monster in your closet, blah, blah. Or basically, first off, he shows up. He's like, hey, monsters, get out of your closet. He's like, there, are they gone now? He's like, no. And then they open that up and the gag is he has his back turned and the mummy is in there. So he never sees the mummy and he yells at the kid and then he closes the door on him. And I'm sitting there going, okay, number one, how did the mummy get in there? Though he leaves through the window, so he came in through the window. Why is he in there? Why does he not do anything? There was no purpose for this. And then I looked at this movie, and it's only like, what, like 120 minutes long or something like that? Or 125?
It's 82. Yeah.
82, yes, yeah. Like,
it's 80, and it's really obvious that this scene was put in after the movie was made because it was too short.
It was a good gag, though.
It's a good gag. It's not a
bad gag, but there's no reason. It doesn't move the plot along. It doesn't move the characterizations along. It's just 5 minutes of something happening for no reason whatsoever, right in the middle of the movie. and it slows down the movie. If it wasn't a good gag, it's good enough gag that it does. But I'm like, but if that kid had something that he wanted, that he was stealing from his closet, maybe. But there's nothing. There's no reason for the mummy to show up in the closet or to leave the closet. Why did he get in there? When did he get in there? What's nothing?
It does establish that nobody believes this kid, which happens again later in the film, which is, again, just a nothing gag. But I enjoyed all of it.
Well, I'm not saying I didn't enjoy it, but I'm saying as a WTF, it counts. There's also is the bit where the older kid, I can't remember his name again now. What is it?
Rudy.
It is Rudy. Okay. Where Rudy is looking out the window at that kid's, the one kid's older sister. And he's looking at her and he's in the middle of a sentence and then it cuts back to him and finishing the word. It cuts off in the middle of the word, comes back him finishing the word, and he's no longer looking through the thing. He doesn't have a pair of glasses or binoculars anymore that he was using. He doesn't have a binoculars, and he's talking to them, and you're like, that is one of the most WTF worst edits I've ever seen all time in my life.
Did anyone else, every time that kid was on the screen, just think, it's really too bad Corey Feldman was too old to play this role.
Oh, too big. anyway, because this kid was in junior high, remember? But he looked about 25 to me. So, yeah, anyways, I got a 5 on this because there's not a lot, but those two are significant.
All right, I've only got a 3 on this one, but there's a couple of just – I think tonally is the thing that's the most WTF for me is that this is such a, like I said, it's like Goonies with the Universal Monsters. And then in the last 5 minutes, two of the Monster Squad just flat out kill the monsters in cold blood.
Oh, yeah.
like Rudy shoots the werewolf and the werewolf turns back into human and says, thank you, and then dies in front of him. And Rudy's walks it off. He is fine.
Yes, it's just like
oh, and has a great line. He racks the shotgun and says, "My name is Horace."
That's not Rudy, but that's what Horace does. Yes.
Right. Sorry.
Tell it wasn't Horace.
Sorry, you were talking Wolfman Death. I was talking Gilman Death.
But Gilman. Okay.
It's the same thing for Gilman. I was just going to say Gilman gets shot by Horace with a shotgun, and again he's just like, I'm good. That's
really what the kids are. He's 10, I think. Would you give your kid a shotgun when he know how to use it there, Van? Van, would he know how to use it, Stan?
You're asking the Canadian? I mean, we should be asking.
I'm sorry, my mistake.
That's true. No, I most definitely wouldn't give him a shotgun. I wouldn't give it to him even if he knew how to use it.
I wouldn't give him, especially if he knew how to use it.
that's a good point.
With the portal and the violence in the last scene, I would have not been surprised if Ash jumped out with his chainsaw. Actually, a Monster Squad versus Army of Darkness. I'm showing up day one to that movie.
Hey, man, the killing of the wolf guy was really bloody as well. Like, you know, not the one where he was shot, but the one where he blows apart. I mean, it comes back together, but that is bloody and graphic. And the scene where Dracula lifts up the little girl who's like four or whatever. That's and intense. Like screams. Pardon me?
That's an intense scene, yeah.
Yeah, like the way he's serious. And that's scary. Like that was like, whoa, the violent intense that he screams at her with when he shows the fangs and everything. It was like, dude, that's like a little kid. So yeah. Sorry, right. Still your turn, isn't it? Did you ever score it?
I did. Oh, yeah, I gave it a three, and we're moving on to what we call memorable moments.
Well, for me, this one is again completely joined by my son, because as we watched it, there's one scene that has now become a favorite of ours, and we repeat it when they're in the house and the wolf man jumps out in front of them, and the one kid yells, "Kick him in the nards!"
And mm-hmm. Well, they had earlier talked about Wolf Dong, yeah, so wolf they had dong, set it that's, up. That's, no, we're not Wolf Dong. It was Wolf Dork.
Wolf Dork.
Wolf, yeah. Wolf Dork. That's why the Wolf Man has pants. Because yes. Wolf, Wolf Dork.
Wolf Dork. Yeah. And so they kick him in the nards, and he kicked him in the nards. My son laughed his freaking ass off.
That is the most famous. Wolfman's yeah. Got Nards is the line that when I first heard about this film, that's the one what I heard. Like that's the famous moment, and it clearly still works.
Oh yeah, it totally works. And for his brain, it was the shit. And so for me, I'm going to an 8 on memorable moments for Wolfman's Got Nards.
And I'll note actually that the documentary that Nick mentioned earlier is called Wolfman's Got Nards.
I was saving it. I was saving it, and it was finally my turn. And you,
and you nerd block, and you nerd block.
Oh, that hurt. I've been nerd blocked.
I had assumed you completely forgotten about that.
Well, that's a safe assumption.
No, this is a quotable movie. My name is Horrors. Wolfman's Got Nards. And I mean, just memorable scenes. Some of the cinematography in this is gorgeous. I mean, when you have all the kids walking into the sunset with Frankenstein's monster holding hands.
That's a great shot.
That's a great shot. Yeah, I there's so much beauty in this movie. I think it's a very memorable movie. So yeah, 8.
Yeah, and I'm going even higher. I'm going with a 9. Like, this is definitely, it's not just Wolfman Has Nards. It's little, like you mentioned some of those little things. I think the first time Rudy shows up, and it's a playoff of all the cool kids, the greaser kids who are like a little bit, you know, antisocial, and they show up in their car, and instead he shows up on a bike and lights a cigarette off the side of his bike, and that's the first time you see him. It's like, that's very memorable, and it's such a play on so many things. Or the little girl when she has Frankenstein, and they're all running away, and she goes, and she's like 4 years old. She goes, "Come on, guys, don't be chicken shit." I laughed my head. I laughed so hard. You know? Or when Rudy's in the treehouse and they're all up in this treehouse and he turns and looks at the dog and goes, "How's the dog get up here?" Like very casually. They moved it away. So awesome.
That's a great line.
I got a 9 for this. Very sorrow.
I'm also doing an 8 on this. It is a quotable movie. Wolfman's Got Nards is such a that's a real pop culture phrase. but it really has great dialogue overall. Like there's really good one-liners. I love how they describe one of the teacher that they won't pay attention to at the beginning. He said, "You know, my buddy says that she's boring and has an odd shaped head, but I don't say that."
Cat head.
I love Shane Black, and I think he's a great writer, and so I think a lot of that shines through here.
There's some huge continuity holes and plot holes in this,
for sure.
But because of the way it is, you're just willing to like let it go and enjoy yourself.
I don't think this movie has any more hot plot holes than like a movie like Goonies,
yeah,
which is made by Steven Spielberg.
No,
this is the genre. There's going to be plot holes you can drive a truck
through. Well, there is some, for sure.
But. All right, so that was an 8, and we're into our last category called Crazy Concept.
Well, You know, as Nick mentioned earlier, it's kind of every 80s movie like that balled up into one, only with the Universal Monsters. So I think that's worth a 3.
I think you're discounting the value of the Universal Monsters. That is pretty crazy let's just add the Universal Monsters into this generic type 80s formula. I think that's crazy. I'm not going to go much higher, but I am going to go higher with a 5.
Well, and the thing is, though, is that we're in an era. Like, I don't know how this would play today. I do think they should remake this. I think it'd be perfect. But, like, I'm not 100% sure to kids, because back in the time when this was on the air, those movies were still on TV fairly often, and the parents had seen them on TV. And there was, like you say now, Van has never seen this. Whereas, you know, like, there was a generation where when these kids were, you were more familiar, I think, with the classic original takes on those Universal Monster heroes, but also the parents of the kids who would take this would go with the kids to the film, they had definitely grown up seeing those movies played regularly themselves, so they would have had nostalgia, you know, on television, because they used to be played a lot more. And so I don't think it's as much of a stretch as you do. And it is some of a stretch. There's still some crazy concepts to this whole thing. But I think anything more than a 4 would be, you know, personally, I think is too much. So I'm going to go a 4.
All right. I'm going to go really low on this. I do think it's, like I said, like the Abbott and Costello's, it's there's enough interest in these characters that we can sell them to them again. So I'm only going to go a 2 on this one. All right. That brings us to the end of the voting, and we go into our secret modifiers. Every season we have 6 secret modifiers. This movie has one of them. It has a text page opening. Again, my favorite modifier. I love, because it's such a Universal Monsters thing to have the text on the screen at the beginning of the film. That gives us a final score of 58.5. And interestingly, 58.5 means it's only 0.5 higher than Revenge of the Nerds and 1 higher than Bloodsport, which means that this seems to be really the zone for the mainstream films.
Oh, wow.
that's a really small margin for the most mainstream films that we've done in the series so far.
I have to say it scored much better than I thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of positives, and I think our nostalgia kind of drove slightly higher scores.
I think we're forgiveness. I think none of us wanted to shit on this movie.
It's still
I think that
how
also
could,
helps.
How can you? Yeah, I mean, all right. Well, why don't you tell everybody where they can find us on the internet there, Jim?
All right. Well, our podcast sponsors, We Talk Podcasts, have most of the presence. So you can follow them on Facebook and on Twitter. And you can go to wetalkpodcasts.com to catch up on the Octagon and any past episodes. We have the Octagon list there. It tells you the rating of the rank of every movie we have reviewed thus far. And you can click on the title and it'll take you to the page for that movie. So as you catch up to us, you can go back and listen to one's we always recommend you see the film, then listen to us, because we are going to spoil the bejesus out of these films.
There is no doubt about that.
And after listening to us on some of these films, your desire to, if you haven't seen it, does go up. I would hope.
Yeah, I would say watch it before you listen, then listen to our show, then watch it again.
And then watch it with us in the background, turn off the sound to the show.
Yeah. And most of these movies, the 1 hour of our podcast matches up perfectly to the film. And you can find us on Instagram at Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo and use the hashtag Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
All right. Well, you know, we've
taken. Sorry, what was the hashtag?
Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
Man, I could remember that.
Yeah, write it down.
I hope so. All right. You know, we've taken a little bit of a left turn into Monster Squad, but we are coming right back in line next episode with Frankenstein Conquers the World. We got some more crazy for everybody's ears coming.
Who picked Monster Squad, by the way? Whose pick was it?
That was
I believe it was mine.
It was Nick's? All right. All right. Well, thanks, Nick.
Unless you ask my wife, and then it was mine. she was thrilled that Monster Squad was going to be in the mix. So,
oh, okay. If we ever talk to Lacey, we'll in other words, you're saying it was a good night in Jim's house.
We had a nice evening watching Monster Squad, lighting some candles, getting the fireplace going.
That's wonderful. All right. Well,
I think it's kind of disgusting.
Wolf Dork. Wolfman.
Kick him in the nards. All right. Well, we are ready to move on. So, for my friends.
They should have made a sequel to this and called it Revenge of the Nards.
Revenge of the Nards.
Well done.
Now it is definitely time to move on. So, for my pals Nick and Jim, and I guess Jack after that joke, I am 8th Dance Stanadu. Oh, thank you for listening to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo Monster Chiller Horror Theater. See you again.